Hello and welcome back to the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution. This is Stephanie Wilson. I'm your host today here with Zoe Naylor. Zoe has established Eagle Rose Productions alongside her partner, actor Aaron Jeffrey, producing shows that help people connect more deeply with their human experience. She has co-created Birth Time, an internationally acclaimed multi-award winning movement and documentary committed to helping women emerge from their births physically well and emotionally safe, and Caftan Mama, a well-being enterprise inspiring people to awaken by connecting with their feelings and the natural way. I'm so excited to speak with you today, Zoe. Welcome.
It's interesting when you share your birth and everyone sees all the bits, you know.
Yeah, right.
Seeing it all. Yes, it's fair to say that people think they know you because they've known one of the most transformative, intimate parts of my human experience this time around. But yeah,
I love how you've explained. I mean, we can talk about it all day long and try and explain it, but you don't know until you go through it. There's just no words. That transformation, what happens in that moment of birthing a baby, it's amazing. I want to give every woman as much knowledge and information around it as she can, but I love your point of view as well, that we can't control it all.
No, I just want more people to know it in the cells of their body. Yeah. So that they can then pay forward positive birth stories, because what happens is in a culture where no one's unpacking their trauma, they infect unconsciously other birthing women and people. We've got to stop doing that, because birth, I didn't know it could be so incredible, but with the intervention rates like they are, I can totally appreciate why that's not the culture that's being shared, and it has to stop.
You know what, Zoe? That's literally why I'm sitting here right now having that conversation with you. Every friend of mine, my mother, every woman I knew just had an absolute horror story. It was just get through it and just get the baby in the world. That just, you just have to do it. It's just this thing you have to get through. And I'm like, what? My husband wants to have kids now. And I'm like, I have to go through this. Like, I'm going to have to figure out what I need to do to make this the best possible experience for me. And that's started me on my journey, and my daughter's 3 now. So it's been 5 years or more ago that I kind of started on that journey of how can it be better? What can I do? How can I prepare? What does it gotta look like to not be this horror story? Because I was exactly that woman. I never had heard a positive, pleasant home birth experience or any sort of experience. I'd never heard of it.
Wow.
What would you consider is the most important thing a woman can do before conception to prepare her body for a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby?
Such an interesting thing, isn't it? Because for me, I feel like my births and birthing experiences have really been so instrumental on my path of healing or awakening and recovery. And so I just want to premise that not everyone gets organized in the way I believe we could for their first birth. So just to not be hard on yourself if you're coming to listen to this after having had your children midway or haven't started, you know, because you have the birth that you're meant to have in order to teach you the lessons, in order to give you the gift, taking action to change your path. So in hindsight, the biggest thing, because I'm restudying to become a somatic therapist and therapist, is really about women nurturing their arousal system or their nervous system within their own bodies. And for that, you know, making sure it's at a state of grace or ease, because we know so much. I mean, when you're conceived, this is so crazy. So when Sophia already had, like when I conceived Sophia, in the first 10 weeks, she has all her eggs already for her babies. So at the time you conceive, like very quickly into that, the red thread or the mother line already is held 2 generations. And we already know that the DNA comes through the mother line, the genetic coding. So we already inherit so much that isn't ours. So if you are in a place where you've experienced any trauma, struggle, anything, just seek the help. Therapy, all paths lead to Rome, I say. Just make sure you're really caring for your nervous system, more so than it is the diet. I mean, all of it matters, but just really tend to yourself where you can so that you are in a state of growing a baby that's not inheriting more stress. That's not it. That's not it, you know? Yeah.
You mentioned when you said nervous system, you also said your arousal senses. Is that how you worded it? I know we often just skip right over that, but how does that correlate whenever you mention that and the nervous system, and what can we do?
So the arousal system I mentioned is in particular reference to the polyvagal theory. And the polyvagal theory is by a man called Stephen Porges. He basically articulated what happens when we get triggered into fight, flight, freeze or fawn. And the we either go up the ladder, let's just say, or we collapse. So the arousal system is the physiological response to an incident. And if it's not regulated, then it can cycle into trauma that is stored within the body. You become traumatized. Trauma is just really unresolved. It's not the incident itself. It's just really the unresolved process of the feelings as a byproduct of that event that gets stored in the body. So what we can do to tend to that arousal, really the only way is in relationship, but it's not relationship necessarily with humans. It can also be with animals, spaces, a pillow, self-care. You know, it's interesting because in a lot of the women I follow, there's a lot of like self-love talk or pleasure practices, and that's all well and good, but if you've come from any trauma foundation or any sort of experience like that, those things are actually very difficult to just do. Even affirmations, they're actually more like a strategy than an embodied practice. The embodied practice comes back to really, you know, I find breath work amazing. Sometimes even that's too much of a to-do, if you know. So just really slowing down, using a pillow to tend, like just to kind of give yourself a hug. Like I have lots of rescue animals, so that's a big part of my practice of building capacity. And in those practices, like seeking a somatic therapist could be profound for pregnant people. An art therapy, anything that taps the subconscious part of the brain. Because even for me, after 10 years of long-term psychotherapy, you know, there's a point now for me where I can notice that the trauma is stored still in the body. And for pregnant people and women, if you've had any traumatic birth experience, and I'd say most people have, because in this country, since we've made the film, caesar rates have gone up to 38, 39% and inductions at 50%. If 50% of the population are being induced, already there's trauma. Like you can't have that and not. And if you don't have continuity of midwifery care or care in any way, you're left with this cycle of trauma that's stored in the body, you know, and there's another layer. So, you know, seeking practitioners, being really conscious that this arousal is innate, it's in the culture, and just really slowing down where you can. Like I am unwinding from a systemized way of living where I was conditioned and did well, you know, school captain, scholarships to uni, overachiever, going to Hollywood as an actress, the whole bit. And now I'm unschooling my children. Like I am unwinding, decolonizing, deconstructing my own body and my environment so that I can actually show up as a person who is in her humanity, not striving above my entire feeling body. It's all interconnected. That's a very long answer to your question.
I kind of thought about that. It's a little bit off topic, but I was driving to the doctor the other day with my 3-year-old. I was on the phone with someone. They asked where I was going and told them I'm going to the doctor. And they said, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, it's just her normal checkup. She just has to go so often, all the time. I don't know if it's different in Australia, how often you have to take your kids. And my daughter isn't vaccinated. Right. Also in the same line as you, of a lot of the undoing of what our society says, but I've had family members who've been very threatening or disagree with that. And so I've talked to my doctor before, and she said, nothing can be done to you as long as you're here with these visits. Don't ever miss a visit. As long as you're showing up to the doctor and proving that you're taking care. And I thought, how crazy is this? I have to drive to a doctor to prove that I'm a good mom, just to like check in with the doctor. It's wild what we've created in this world to be the norm.
I'll just speak to that actually. So part of my awakening or recovery well-being journey has been to reclaim an embodied sense of sovereignty. That has been a task. So I'm not saying that lightly, and I'm not saying that willy-nilly, like it's just easy to do.
Yeah.
I don't even see a Western doctor anymore. And if someone wants to judge me, the proof is in my children. Mm-hmm. I've come to a space within myself that I'm not afraid of projection, other people's stuff. It's my responsibility myself, and then how I show up to be a healer, and I'm bringing the mother medicine home in my home. So mm-hmm. I am not going to prescribe to approach. That's not to say that some of us don't need Western medicine and it doesn't play a beautiful role, and right. some women don't need obstetric care. But when the percentage of the care and the intervention is so out of whack, like the World Health Organization says 10 to 15%, for example, in the birth space, cesarean rate is a good rate and means healthy outcomes for mothers and babies. I know in America and the rest of the Western world, it's so far above that. So I don't put Western medicine as my first port of call. I don't, and I haven't seen, and I come from a very institutionalized family. I get judged all the time, but I still have found a place in my therapy to love and accept them. And I'm not as triggered by them because I've found that place in myself that I know what I'm doing is right for me and my family. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to find that place within yourself, regardless of what is happening around you. And women know, but they question themselves. And this is why getting birth is so right, because it's the third rite of passage. The first is how you're born. The second is how you traverse your moon time or menarche or your maiden journey, then birth, and then menopause, and then death, right? Yeah. And so it's a rite of passage that actually allows you to start to bring home the sense of sovereignty, but we're so disempowered and we don't even realize. So here you are taking your children to the doctor to tick a box, to feel good inside of you and that you're doing it okay. Like I would invite, like if your children are healthy, like we seek homeopathy. I use essential oils, homeopathy, and nutrition as the first port of call for how I hold my family's well-being. They mm-hmm. see different integrative practitioners like chiropractors and chirokinesiologists and massage. I spend more money on well-being than I have a football team that support my mm-hmm. family. So yeah. I'm not negligent, but Western medicine is changed linearly. And right now we have to look at a circular model of wellness, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and Western doctors are not trained in that way within their institutions. So we have integrative doctors if we need it. Like if a child breaks down, you need to go to the hospital. Of course, but
absolutely.
It's just about allaying the fear. And that also comes back to birth. We feel that fear, we get in that arousal and we knee-jerk reaction. We hand over our innate knowing to practitioners who sometimes are not respecting the woman or the person's intuitive knowing. So there's not a lot of person or woman-centered care. There's mass, oh, you're this many weeks, you're due on this date induction, you're siphoned in, the film touches on this, into a conveyor belt of treatment. So actually the world in all well-being needs person-centered care. And the only way to do that is to come back to localized communities. And this is the great undoing of the time that we're in now.
Mm. I love that. You mentioned you've been doing this work for 10 years for yourself. How long would you advise a woman to give herself before conceiving to really work on that trauma and that lineage that she has within her?
I don't want anyone to not. I used to think, like as an actress, I had to get to Hollywood. I had to have had a certain amount of movies under my belt before I could have a baby, right? I had to, this was the marker before I could begin. Sometimes the process is the healing. So don't worry. Oh God, I can't conceive because I haven't reached this point. Just do it side by side, you know. Seek out a therapist if that's feeling like, oh, it's time for me, while you're conceiving, you know, like it will all work together, because there was so much healing that happened for me in the process of Sophia's birth and what I learned that I couldn't have learned any other way by walking through that door. So there's no, I had a tendency for perfectionism and markers, you know, but don't do that. Just know, like, just, but don't sit back and just be open and take some action steps, but maybe across a few modalities. I'm going to seek out it. Like, you'll feel so empowered by reclaiming. We just don't even know what that feels like to choose, you know? Yeah, but don't be hard.
Life's messy.
It is so messy and complex and beautiful. Like, nature is not like, have you ever looked in a garden, a wild garden? Like, it's messy and fabulous. And everyone's like, nothing's the same.
Yeah.
Nature doesn't go on this date of your conception to flowering, you're gonna, it's at a, this time, like, oh, the obstetric tree is not ready. We better induce you to flower. Like, it's nutso. There's nothing in nature that replicates it.
Oh, that's so amazing. So, okay, speaking of what prior to conceiving, though, is there anything that you have found women should be tested for or nutritionally be prepared for going into pregnancy that it's going to make her experience better?
I read a book called Mother Food. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the author. We have such issues around conception, and like IVF is through the roof, like fertility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have learned how to track my cycle with the moon. I have learned about my phases of ovulate within my cycle. I've learned how to yoni steam, which is where you use herbs and you steam your vagina prior to bleeding and just after to regulate your cycle. I would just nurture, and I've only just started doing womb healing work around healing and reclaiming my maiden journey to my menarche by doing womb. Like, there's so many ways that you can, if you've got an irregular cycle or even issues around, you know, like there's so many female issues that are around right now. Little practices mm-hmm. that you can do to start to nurture and love up your womb space. Definitely Mother Food is great. There's some great books just around implementing some natural, you know, the natural way of nutrition for the body that really the body and the ovaries love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Taking out the colonization of time around that arousal that women hold, okay, I'm ovulating. Like, and I did it. I spat on a little thing that told me when I was, you know, that's a fear. It's not to say don't do it. It's just to say notice. And when this, it takes out all the sexiness around making love with your partner to conceive. We become somewhat part of the conveyor belt of, oh, I'm ovulating, come on. And so when we consciously conceive, and here I am, I almost could have another baby to really know this, because I didn't fully know this. When you're calling in that beautiful spirit into your womb, who's wanting you to be their mother or their parent, like, if you come out of that arousal space of productivity around, okay, well, this is, I'm ovulating now, let's do, make the baby, and soften into what is actually being co-created here, like, that, like, there's so much magic that we're just missing because we're in the militant conveyor belt systemization of making a baby. You're not making a baby, you're calling in a spirit. And women are so extraordinarily powerful and magnetic and goddess, like, all the goddesses are in you. We grow human beings and we birth them out of our vagina, God willing. Like, it's unreal, and we forget the magnificence of what creation is. We are. So, like, just remember that. Remember it in your body. But while we're, you know, we forget it energetically. Yeah.
So that kind of leads me into, I'm so curious, and I've seen your film, so I know a little bit more of what you speak into on this, and I've heard all the women's stories, but what can we do to improve those odds? What can we do to be empowered going through that?
There's a difference between most women, and when I hear you say that, it reminds me of them, oh, well, I had the birth I was meant to have, and they hand it over and they use that to justify and make peace with what has happened.
Right.
Almost in another way, they hand over the experience. You can't help the outcome. But what happens is there's a lot of trauma that's happened that women also haven't integrated. And the part is taking responsibility for what you can do, right? So, for example, with Sophia, and I'm going to speak to myself here before I come back to the answering this question, I know that my lack of awareness and my lack of responsibility for what I was walking into because of my ignorance and unconsciousness has caused her trauma. And I know that my own arousal system in my parenting at times has caused me to inflict trauma. And by that, it can be unrepressed rage or however it comes out, because I didn't know how to tend to myself and I hadn't sought the care. And so now how I show up for her is, I love you and I am so sorry. And I speak to it and I share my struggle, and then I seek out the help and the action in order to make sure that I'm not perpetuating the issue unconsciously. Mm-hmm. So that's really painful to do, really painful to do. So rather than pretending, oh, I had the birth I had in order to, yes. Mm-hmm. If you know in your deeper self that you also did what was required in order to have an empowered birth in the times we're in, which is where it's disempowered at every place externally. As soon as you walk into the hospital setting, it's just by its nature. It's in a hospital. Birth is not a physical issue that needs surgery, unless needed, but it's actually the natural way. So why are we putting it alongside the illness in a hospital, for example? So what we found in the research in the film is, if you seek out continuity of care. So what that means is, like, one person tending to you, and you get to know them during your pregnancy, during your labor and postpartum is key. You can be disappointed in the birth outcome, but you won't be traumatized. In the hospital setting in America, I know it's similar to here, like, we are like conveyor belts. You go to have these midwife appointments, and you can have a different woman every time. Most midwives are women. Then you, on the day you go into labor, you go to hospital, and then you're in labor that you might have had interventions, and the obstetrician's generally a male. And you go in and he checks you. It's very clinical. And you are traversing a rite of passage. This is huge. It's transformative. Yet we go into it like it's not given the reverence. So if we come back and we find that continuity of care, if you can also get a doula is a non-medically trained support person, but someone who can also be there. Like, I had a team around me that I gathered for Beau's birth, and he was posterior, and that labor was harder than Sophia. Posterior means he was face up. So actually the pushing and the whole, it was a lot more difficult for my body. But I had a doula and I had Joe, the midwife. I pulled it off because I had these women around me who I had built this relationship with during my whole pregnancy. So when I faced myself, and you will face yourself in birth because it's a rite of passage and that's what it's designed to do, so you can come out of the fire like the phoenix, you can do it. It's almost naive to think that women can pull it off. It's almost, you're lucky if you go into the hospital and you can do that birth without a team of people. So make sure you find continuity models where you can, you know, and if you can't, like, find the team. It's not the men. It's actually women's business. So, you know, I always thought Aaron, because I pedestalized him so much because he was this, you know, in our relationship, that's something I've had to really work on, that he was going to do it for me. They can't. Mm-mm. It will never, ever, 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 ever. They can be fantastic, but they'll never. When you look into someone's eyes, when you're traversing that transition point in your labor, you want to clock someone who knows in their entire being where you are. And when you go, I can't do it, and they say, yes, you can, you go, yes, I can. That's so important.
I love that you pointed that out. As much as I love my husband, I've often said the women that I had around me, it's like, oh my gosh, it's just like you're pulling that power from women. I'm not, men are amazing in their ways, but like you nailed it. When you are going through that, it just isn't the same. You want to look at that team that you've got. You know what I really wanted to clarify, because it was absolutely shocking to me. So luckily I was able to also have that continuity model that you speak about, but I was really surprised and confused at first that I felt like, well, I'm supposed to be going to my OB. This isn't right. Like it's just so ingrained in us. We think that we have to go seeing a specific OB doctor at the hospital, but genuinely your midwife is trained and she's doing all of the same things that they're going to do at every checkup from month zero, from the very first one all the way through. That's what that really means, is truly like you do not need to see anyone else but that midwife who's going to be there at the end. She's the first one there at your first appointment as well.
Yeah, I was ignorant about that too, you know, and in the film we touch on that as well. Like midwives are fully trained. In fact, obstetricians in their training never see normal physiological birth. They're trained to cut and they're trained to intervene. Their arousal state every day, they're at the pointy end of what goes wrong. They're in heightened state. In fact, some of the obstetricians we interviewed, their capacity to sit on their hands and allow a woman and person's body to function, they get very triggered by that. So there's a propensity to want to intervene. So Jo, not only is she a highly trained, can do everything, if something is awry, and this is why, you know, there's films in America, all the midwives have home births. It's interesting, isn't it? They don't birth in hospitals. They all choose, a lot of them. And I think they say, there's a movie in America called Why Not Home? I think it was, I don't know if you've heard of that film. I think getting out of this idea that it has to be in this medicalized place allows the protection and sanctity of what is most natural in the unfolding. Birth doesn't just happen. Like I had fast labors, but they still were hours long. Mm-hmm. So at home, this also, I just want to talk to this idea that it's unsafe. When you've got this highly trained practitioner, midwife with you, if anything goes awry, there is time to transition and get the obstetric care that you need if needed. So this fear that you have to go in there first, I just want people to step out of that four walls into a place that holds you more while you've got this incredibly trained medical team with you, so that you can set yourself up to win. And know that if you need to transfer, you will, but you probably won't.
Exactly. Could you speak into what a woman's body goes through? I guess it would be physiologically what she goes through being in a hospital environment with the bright lights, with the people all around her, like you said, the different people all around her. Can you speak into what literally is happening in our brain, to our uterus, and our body being in home versus that scenario?
Well, in our film, Melanie Podolsky, who I won't give away what happens to her, but she's case in point. She's a woman who actually, as soon as she transferred to a hospital, like too early, like, you know, labor, she could have birthed at home early on, as soon as her body, and naturally we're energetic creatures. We respond to our environment, which is why when you get off your screen and you go out into nature, you go, oh, you can't help but feel different in natural settings. So as soon as you take yourself out of the comfort of your home, if home is safe for you, and you walk into a sterile environment with people you don't know, while your body's opening to be a portal to like the most divine, sacred thing you'll ever be have access to in your life, which is why you don't leave the house for 6 weeks after your baby's born and you have a closing the bones ceremony to close up your energetic portal. Like, you walk into a sterile fluorescent light, hundreds of people in and out. If you're having a Caesar on trolleys, not knowing anybody, you think, as I'm saying, that arousal response that we talked about early on is getting heightened. Now, what does that do? This is a downward opening. Your baby's coming down, opening the body. If you're now putting your body physiologically into a state of arousal, what are you doing? You're sucking the baby back up. You're holding your breath and your contractions are getting more and more and more. So as you're meant to be softening down and down and down, you're going, like, even without knowing, because you're in the throes of labor, just logically thinking about that, that's a profound interruption to the natural unfolding of birthing. Mm-hmm. So everything happens. And then you've got people coming in and out of your room, being checked, monitored. I mean, there's so much research about that. Mm-hmm. It's this interrupting. And if anyone's been through labor, holy dooly, right? Like you want to be with those surges so that you don't panic, because they're mm-hmm. full on, you know. Like, if you're then trying to navigate that at the same time, it's so intrusive energetically. It's such a disruption to what people and women are capable of in traversing labor. It's a travesty, really.
It is. And that's what then leads to the hospital intervening more than they need to, because now the labor isn't progressing, but it's not progressing because of the environment. And now they're intervening and it's turned into a worse situation.
And the woman's panicking, and then I think, I'll give her the drugs. And I asked, I in my first labor, like, because I was not prepared in any of the ways, didn't know what was going on. I thought, oh my God, give me the drugs. I thought I couldn't do it. Like, I just, because, and then the women in the hospitals don't know you and they go, oh, can we give her the drug? I mean, luckily that didn't roll out that way for me, but it absolutely could have. It's so easy for it to go wrong, and this rite of passage gets totally annihilated. And most women and people, because of the culture, don't unpack that birth. They just go on to seek out the intervention the next time, because we're busy, there's financial pressures, we've got to get on with it, and then we're in the system and we've suddenly had this, all our babies, and we've totally missed it. And that's even worse. And then you try and get a woman to unpack her trauma around what has happened or hasn't happened as she's coming into perimenopause. She won't go there, is what I've noticed, because it's too much and there's no way she can reclaim and do it again because she's missed that window. So that's the travesty. And then it gets handed down through the generations. Yeah.
Animals in labor, they'll find like a dark corner by themselves even. And it's the same way. We want and we need that space and that peace and that just quiet to ourselves. But then, like you're saying, there's other women around. Obviously, we're in a good environment in our home, but that actually helps labor go faster. And it's softer. Like you're saying, it helps the body soften. It helps you calm down. It just all works so much better.
I don't think I ever got to a place of really, look, I did the best I could at the point of my, you know, healing journey. Like, labor was, I could almost have another baby because I'd love to try and really soften into those. I'm in a place of trying to softening now to experience more pleasure in my body, because my body holds the score, holds the trauma, right? So in these contractions, I kind of definitely wasn't great at going in the face of the mind. So I needed those women to really hold my hand. I couldn't have been alone in the dark, and I wasn't at that in either birth. I really needed that support. So imagine if I had gone in while also going, oh my God, like that. Oh my God, I'm feeling like I'm going to die, but I'm not. Imagine if I was in a hospital with people I didn't know. Like, and I'm a pretty, not like meeting people. I mean, that would have I mean, gosh, it's so full on, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It brings it so much back having this conversation.
Mm. I know. You spoke about, or you just briefly mentioned, something, womb closing. What was it that you said? Mm. Or womb closing ceremony?
Closing the bones. So closing, it's really interesting. Bones. Yeah, I'll just talk about some of the ceremonies or rituals or practices that are really great for women and people to choose. So for Sophia, I had the baby shower. And the baby shower is when your mum brings a present and we have afternoon tea. We take pretty photos and we do our hair. It's all very lovely and it's really disconnected. And so for Bo, and also this present giving, you get things you're never going to use, or it's not your taste, and it's all this stuff, right? At the time with the planet, we're looking at overconsumption. For Bo, I had a thing called a mother blessing. I think in America, the Native Americans call it a blessing, right? So we're respectful to their the indigenous name there, so we call it a mother blessing. And I've now learned how to facilitate these mother blessings through my shamanic womancraft training. But essentially you gather, and I did not invite my family to my mother blessing because for me they weren't the people energetically that I needed. You invite people that you feel could really contribute energetically to helping hold the space for you when you go into labor. And people are, we're all energy housed in a body, you know, we're a kind of vibrational being. So the quantum field would say with our intention, we can be with people, which is why when people pass over, you can feel the spirit of loved ones with you. So you bring a bead, and an intention. And there's a really, you can look up how to do it. Friends can facilitate this for you. And you sit in circle and you do a little ceremony together. And there's lots of different practices you can put into that ceremony. But essentially, through the course of that process, you thread a necklace. And you, with every bead that's threaded, that person says an intention or a blessing for you and the baby. And that most magnificent necklace is beaded. And it's like the most incredible piece of jewelry I own. And then when I went into, and we also did a thing where everyone tied some wool around their hands and someone was nominated to be the announcer. So when I went into labor, Aaron texted that person and that person told everyone who was there, and everyone puts their energy for me while I'm in the process of labor. And I put the necklace on and I was like, wow, I felt like this kind of like wild woman. And I felt the energy of all the women and the people who are at that mother blessing. So they help you, you know, we call in the sisters to help you traverse the rite of passage. So that's a mother blessing. And the birth and closing the bones was done with my midwife and doula, Jerusha and Joe. And essentially it's another practice where 6 weeks after the baby's born, you are ready, that portal that you've opened during labor to birth your baby can start to close. And so what they did is it was a beautiful ritual where I had a beautiful rose petal bath with Bo, and then they laid me down and they gave me like a little soft massage. There's all different things you can do. There's no rule book. These beautiful big scarves, and they tied up my body with the scarves very gently, and they lay me there, you know, and gave blessings. And it's just a practice that then called closing the bones. So the whole, you know, rite of passage 6 weeks prior to birth is your mother blessing your birth, and 6 weeks after, I'm like, wow, I will never have a baby shower. I mean, why would you do that when you could have another blessing? It's cheaper. Beautiful. It's so much more conscious. It supports you. It's what it's for. You see, it's just missing.
It is. I'm kind of getting back to what we need, just going inside of us versus the commercialism and everything we're marketed to and what we've created birth and labor to be. So could you speak on, would you mind sharing with everyone, how would you explain the film and why women want to take the time to watch this and learn?
So when I don't know about you, but when you're busy, like, there was books I should have read, you know, sometimes books I feel like another to-do, particularly books that are task orientated. So films are a way that we can escape, we can feel, we can learn. Most people have a telly, you know, not everyone has the capacity to buy books and store books. So We made the film as a really, well, for me, having been in the film business, it's a way to really viscerally educate, inspire, transform people. And because we filmed Beau's birth, it wasn't my intention at the time, but because that birth was so transformative for me in a way that I never understood it was possible, I said, let's share that. Actually, we didn't intend to actually, I'm sorry, just in hindsight, like I just felt after that birth that I wanted to, having trained as a journalist, just I wanted to find a way to kind of share that. And Joe, my midwife, had been thinking about making film for a long time, and Jerusha, who's a doula birth photographer, had that skill, and she'd been an actress as she was. So we just really started to follow our noses and do these interviews. And through the process, then I said, look, we've filmed Beau's birth, we should share that birth, you know, and people should see the film, because I think it really is a quintessential way to capture the feeling behind what we've talked about today. It actually shares all the research in a way that's really assimilatable from all of the leading scholars and practitioners from around the world, including America, who we were interviewed over a four-year process. So you're getting all the research in a way that you can receive. It's not like I've got to go read the studies. It's really, you'll laugh, it inspires you. It's kind of like the melting pot of what I believe women and people need to know at this juncture in order to reclaim this rite of passage, you know, 84 minutes, you know, and because we've just signed this global big deal with a big international distributor, like you can watch it on our site, birthtime.world. But I now know it's going to go out to the world in a way that people will hear about it. I feel like it's like your entry point into a quick catch up into everything you need to know to start to enter into reclaiming that rite of passage, and not to be afraid to watch it. Like, even if you're really pregnant, watch it, you know, like this is what you need now to go, oh, okay, this is what I'm doing. It's empowering. It will allay any fear. It helps you kind of reframe what you need to do. It'll teach you about continuity of care and why that's so important. All the research on the system, what we're dealing with. Yeah, I just feel like it's kind of like captured, like the entry point for people if they're really this, what we've talked about today, feels like, wow, okay, hadn't ever thought of it like that. Just, it's not woo-woo. It's really grounded in research and science, but it's also an invitation into possibility for you.
Well said. I didn't realize that's how it started either.
Ah, yeah, it was never, it was an unfolding. We self-taught like all us on YouTube tutorials, bought all our own gear, and we followed our noses. And 4 years it took to gather the interviews and the birthing footage and the research, and then the edit was a whole year. Like it's been a huge baby. Like I feel like I was pregnant with that baby for a long time. The birth was really full on. I'm in the postpartum. I'm still there. Like this baby's not growing up. I've just sent the baby off to kindergarten, you know? Like that's what it feels like. I've just sent the baby off, and it feels right now. Like I feel really proud of the body of work and the people that came on and the backers that we had. And, you know, in COVID, we at the international box office stuff, it was incredible. We won 22 international awards. Like it really speaks to people. I think it's really time, and our tag is it's time, you know, like it really is time. And I think the film really was bigger than us. It was kind of guided the whole way. So I think people feel that when they watch it.
It would be extraordinary for every woman to watch. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Oh, you too.
Thank you so much, Zoe. Also, for everyone interested in checking out and learning more about the film Zoe has referred to throughout this conversation, check out the link on her speaker page as well as in the email that you received today with this interview. You will have a 20% off code or 20% off link. Just follow that link to watch Birth Time documentary right now. It is a must see. You don't want to miss this.